All right, so obviously, very newsworthy day. So I figured I'd hop on here and give my thoughts on the situation. Obviously, big day in the world of hockey. We have the NHL trade deadline, and by far and away, the story of the day ends up being the Boston Bruins, who end up selling off multiple pieces throughout the week, but most notably today, none more important than dealing their captain and longtime Boston Bruin, former Stanley Cup champion, or well, one-time Stanley Cup champion, I guess you could say, would probably be a better way to put it, Brad Marchand, really sort of triggering a end to an era in Boston sports and Boston Bruins hockey. He gets dealt to the Florida Panthers in exchange for a conditional second-round draft pick, which we will get into in a minute. But obviously, yep, that ends up being sort of the story of the day, and I guess we'll start there. They made some other moves as well with, you know, Brandon Carlo, another big piece. It was sort of at the same time, Marchand and Carlo had come in just as that 3 p.m. Deadline had sort of come and gone. Right at about 3 p.m., both the Marchand and Carlo news came out. Took forever for us to figure out what the compensation was. We didn't really know what the compensation was until Don Sweeney took the podium at like 6:30. So that just shows how bit of a clusterfuck the NHL's situation is. How hard of a deadline that 3 p.m. deadline is, I'm curious. But so Marchand and Carlo go right at 3 p.m. Earlier in the day, Charlie Coyle had went, I think maybe an hour beforehand. It was not that long before. Charlie Coyle gets dealt. And then earlier in the week, last night, Justin Brazeau had gotten dealt after that horrible loss to Carolina. And earlier in the week, Trent Frederick got dealt along with Max Jones, who had really kind of been in and out of the lineup anyway. I guess we'll sort of start, like I said, with the main event. The big piece here, Brad Marchand. Again, really a substantial move in terms of the significance in history and I guess sort of turning a new leaf as an organization whenever you trade your captain. There's not going to be another captain this year, so we're not getting a direct answer on that, even though I have a couple of ideas of who it would be. But I think it was a move that the Bruins had to make. This team's not going anywhere anytime soon, and it just feels a little ridiculous to keep a 37-year-old pending unrestricted free agent on the roster and signing him to a contract extension when you can get something for him. And, you know, you didn't get nothing for him. You know, you can get something for him now, and also, you know, it's just there does come a time where you just have to cut, you know, bait with the past. I'm less so worried about that than what other people were saying. There's two different opposing views on this trade. One side absolutely hates it. They think that Marchand was good for the room. They think that he still had some pop in his game for a 37-year-old, and that he was worth keeping because he was, you know, he's one of their three best players, really, or one of their two best players, really. And some people felt that was worth keeping, and some people just felt like you needed that voice in the locker room, You know, I'm not so far on the other side, which there was, you know, there's another side to this argument, which is the side that I'm on, which is, you know, you get something for him in return. You don't let him just walk for nothing. I'm less so on this idea. There's some people that just think you just had to cut bait because you need to change the organization and you can't have anybody from the past here. Not anybody from the past, but having Marshawn kind of symbolizes this thing that you're holding on to. And to some degree, it's correct. But, you know, I'm less worried about that aspect of it. If Marshawn wanted to stay here on a short-term deal and the team was good, I would have no issue with that. But when the team's bad, there's no reason to have some nostalgic 37, late 30s guy on the team that you could still get something for. And, you know, how much, what are you really giving up at the end of the day? You know, there's no guarantee of what Brad Marchand's going to be next year. There's no guarantee what he's going to be on Florida. You know, he's had two instances really where he crashed into the boards. And recently, the second one, he ends up getting injured and ends up missing time for it. They say he's week to week, so it's not a concussion, because a concussion, you wouldn't say, actually Don Sweeney earlier today said he was going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. A concussion would be, you know, you sort of look at that day by day, but they're saying he's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. So this got to be a different injury in there. And I kind of wonder if that's why the return was so, I guess, underwhelming. You know, if he might not even be the same player when he comes back. So really, what are you holding on a bad team that's going nowhere to hold on to a 37-year-old forward that you don't even know what he's going to be like when he comes back, let alone next year? So in that case, you can get a second round pick for him. Absolutely take it. Absolutely take it. I have no qualms about the return. Did I think it was underwhelming when it came in? Sure. But, you know, ultimately getting a second round pick, it's an asset that you can use in the future. It could become a first round pick given the conditions. The conditions are, if Florida makes it to the conference final and Brad Marchand plays in 50% of the games in the playoffs, that pick becomes a first round pick in either 2027 or 2028. I'm not really sure what the condition is on that. I'm assuming that Florida is given the flexibility to trade that 2027 pick. Maybe that's why. But so I don't know. I see it as fair compensation. He's 37 years old. He's going to be a UFA. He's hurt. I think the injury is probably worse than they've let on, and that's why the trade market wasn't as high on him as you might have thought. And ultimately, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. It could definitely be one that bites Florida in the ass. You know, they're taking a risk in this too, but if I'm the Bruins, I really don't see what the risk was. Like, you're most likely weren't going to bring him back anyway. If they did bring him back, and this is sort of what annoys me about it, if they did bring him, all the people that are upset that the Bruins traded Marchand today are the same exact people that were telling me that they had to sign Jeremy Swayman to an 8-year deal. That it would be so stupid to let him walk. And then they turn around and point the finger at Don Sweeney and say, well, the team sucks. And it's like, well, okay, you wanted them to sign the goalie. If they would have gone out and signed Brad Marchand and gave him $3 million, the rumor is that the Bruins were offering $3 million per year for 2 years. He wanted three. If they went out and gave him a three-year $9 million contract, and he sucked next year, everyone would have been bitching at the GM for, why don't we have any cap space? Well, okay, well, you got the goalie over here making 8.25, and he's not living up to the contract. And then you got an aging veteran over here making three. So then now you've got $11 million tied up in cap space that you people all wanted. So, no, you can't just point the... I'm kind of going on a straw man argument. But That's what people would have reacted if they signed him to that extension and it doesn't work out. It's just such a more safer bet to cash in your chips and take what you can get for him. You're not going to be able to maximize the value of a 37-year-old, top six forward anyway. So why not get something for him? Sure. Do we all feel sad that he's gone? Absolutely. Do I wish Brad Marchand retired a Bruin? Sure, I do wish he retired a Bruin. It's not really all that important at the end of the day. I'm not going to have, it doesn't take away any memories you have of the player. It's the same thing. It's like the same thing with, any other athlete. It's like most of them, they end up going play somewhere else. You don't even remember it. And the team that they played for their whole career is etched in your memory. So really, is that worth not getting draft pick compensation and assets for? So that way you people can all feel better that Brad Marchand retired a Bruin. Like, I don't understand. I just don't understand the glorification of that. And I don't really understand why he really wanted to stay either. It was a sinking ship that and maybe he was overplaying how much he wanted to stay in the media to try to, maybe get more money out of the Bruins. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out over time. But I don't know why he would want to stay here. I don't really understand why the team would want to keep him. You kept hearing that they were talking a contract extension. I didn't really understand why. I was hoping that it was a negotiation tactic on behalf of trading him to, make it seem like they were going to keep him to try to get a better deal in a trade, but who knows? To me, it didn't make sense to keep him. It didn't make sense for him to stay here. They got some draft pick compensation. They got assets back. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it might even turn out to be good assets. People are shitting on the return, but, yeah, it does kind of suck that we won't really know until years down the line. But if it turns into a first round pick, Florida is kind of an old, I mean, most of their team has kind of been on that. They've either been on the team for a while or they acquired them via trade or free agency. There's a very real possibility that Florida gets older and depleted rather quickly. They kind of do have a little bit of a short window here because, Sam Bennett's 29. I think Sam Reinhart's 29. Kachuk is 27. So, they don't. They all got these guys that are in their prime, and they're all sort of the same age, but they are sort of that like late 20s heading into the 30s sort of thing. So, in a few years, who knows? They might not be the same team. You might end up getting a good pick out of that. I don't really have any problems with the return. I really don't. It, for a guy that you were gonna probably lose anyway. So what does it and or you weren't gonna be able to maximize their value of them being here. Okay, so the other trade that they make, another trade that they make, they trade away Brandon Carlo to another division rival. They trade him to the Maple Leafs. This is the trade that they get the most in return for, pretty much because all the other guys that they traded are really either were, Frederick and Brazo, who are just kind of support. I mean, Frederick is a kind of a supporting piece, and I mean Brazo is, I mean, putting supporting piece on him is being a little bit complimentary. But between Coyle, Marchand, and Carlo that you traded today, Carlo's the one that definitely helps the other team in the future more. He was kind of the one that was a little that one kind of. That was kind of the one I didn't want to have happen. Not that I didn't want to have happen. I just wanted to make sure. That's one that I want the Bruins to win the deal on, if they're going to deal him. He's still in his mid 20. He's still in his. I think he's a little bit older than me, so he's like late 20s. Got some term left on his contract through the end of next year, I believe. So, and really not all that expensive either for, a good top four defenseman. I didn't love Brandon Carlo's game while he was here, but there's no doubt that he was definitely a very skilled defensive defenseman in his own zone. Maybe got exploited a little bit whenever they would play a more physical team, such as St. Louis in that playoff, in that Stanley Cup final, or these Florida series, he would kind of get exposed. But if he was playing a team like the Leafs, a team that's maybe a little bit more speed oriented, less physical, a softer team, he was great. He was great in a few of those series. So a little bit sad to see him go. That one kind of pained a little bit, but you end up getting the biggest return out of everything, out of all the trades from him. You get a first round pick next year from Toronto, which is top five protected, which I mean, Toronto's not going to the bottom of the league, I don't think, but in the event that they did, it does kind of suck that it's got some protection on it. They retained 15% of his salary too, which I didn't really love, especially if they got that stupid protection on the pick. To me, that protection on the pick should be, without the retention. And then they get a fourth round pick this year. That was from Philly. But they get Frazier Minton. I'm going to mispronounce his last name. I kept calling him France. His name is Frazier. Frazier Minton. People in Toronto seem pretty pissed that they traded this kid, actually. Kind of decent size, 6'2", 194-pound centerman. And you'll notice that this is a trend that they did this week. So he's 20 years old. He was a second round pick 2 years ago, or well, it's going to be 3 years ago soon, 2022. He's only played 19 games in the NHL. He's got 2 goals. But people seem pretty high on him. Had 38 points in 36 games last year with the Saskatoon Blades. I couldn't really tell you much about him other than, left shot center. I saw the 2 goals that he scored kind of were, one was kind of a open net. It was a turnover and then turned into a 2-on-0, and he was just kind of standing there at an open net situation. The first one that he scored was pretty nifty. He went right into the slot and had a good release. So be interesting to see how that turns out. Like I said, a lot of people seem high on him. He was captain of the World Junior team for Canada this past World Juniors, which they didn't perform very well during the World Junior tournament. They got knocked out in the quarterfinal, famously, notoriously. So, but I don't know. Some people seem very high on this kid. Like I said, I saw a lot of Toronto media and Toronto fans were kind of upset that he was involved in the deal. So maybe you got something there for Brandon Carlo, which, so I think that was a pretty good deal all in all. Like I said, kind of pained me to lose Carlo, but you were going to have to take some pain in this process. So, I'll take the assets, I'll take the prospects, they need them. And Carlo was an expendable piece. The other deal that they made, just about an hour, I would say hour and a half before, they traded away Charlie Coyle. And they got kind of a surprising return for Charlie Coyle. I'm kind of stunned that they got more for Charlie Coyle than they got for Brad Marchand. They get Casey Mittelstadt, who is another centerman from Colorado. They kind of switched bad contract for bad contract. Charlie Coyle is signed through the end of next year. He's at 5-2-5 or whatever he is. Casey Mittelstadt, he's got 2 years left on his deal after this one. He's at 5.75. Kind of struggled this year over in Colorado. He was involved in a big trade last year with the Buffalo Sabres and the Colorado Avalanche, where the Sabres traded for Bo Byram from the Avalanche, and they swapped Casey Mittelstadt out for Bo Byram. So yeah, Casey Mittelstadt, he's put up 50 points, I think, twice in his career, or over 50 points. He had 59 1 year. So he was good in Buffalo. He's kind of struggled in Colorado. Hoping that the change in scenery will be good for him. Not a very physical player, from what I understand. If he's not scoring, he's not really visible, which, you know, figures. So he'll be perfect as a Bruin. So he'll just disappear on you. Notoriously, very famously, did not record a pull-up when he went to the NHL draft combine. He's probably sick and tired of hearing this story because it's been circling around today. But yes, when he was at the NHL draft combine, he did not complete a pull-up. This was 8 years ago. He's 26 years old now. This was at the draft combine back in 2017 or whatever it was when he was 18 years old. Didn't do a pull-up and only did one rep on the bench at 160 pounds. So, and it doesn't seem like he really put on much size since then because everybody says he gets pushed around. And like I said, if he's not scoring, he's kind of invisible. But we'll see. Maybe if, you know, the Bruins don't really have a first-line center right now, so it possibly could be him and Pastrnak. He might be able to put up points that way. They also got... they got a second round pick as well this year. So that's, you know, again, another pick for you to restock your farm system. And before I forget this guy's name, yes, Will Zellers, who was a third round pick for Colorado this past year. He's currently lighting it up, I guess, in the USHL. He's the second leading scorer. I saw his numbers earlier. They were pretty impressive, but it is the USHL, so you know you gotta, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But I guess, you know, it's better than what the Bruins have with Dean Letourneau, who's playing in, you know, BC, and he has yet to score a goal this year. So let's see. So with the Green Bay Gamblers of the USHL, he's got 58 points in 41 games. It puts him second in the league. He has 37 goals. So seems like kind of a exciting prospect, but he was a third round pick. So, you know, we'll see how high his ceiling really is, or if his game is going to translate to the NHL. But, you know, a nice, exciting prospect that you got there for Charlie Coyle, a second round pick, and you got an NHL NHL player. In return, you got a pretty good return for Charlie Coyle, a really kind of a surprising return. I honestly thought you might have to send something. Oh, they did send a fifth round pick in return, but, you know, I thought that you'd have to send something like of significance to get rid of that contract, but I guess not. I guess he had a stronger market than I thought. And Colorado was very active in this trade deadline. They got Brock Nelson as well. The night before, so I was a little bit surprised to see them continue to add with Charlie Coyle, and then, you know, they got Marty Natchez back a couple months ago for the Mikko Rantanen trade, which was a whole thing earlier today that I'm not going to go into, but with the Carolina Hurricanes. But so Colorado obviously stacking up for the playoffs, and yeah, they add Charlie Coyle, they add Brock Nelson. On top of that, they have Marty Natchez. They're kind of stacked up the middle, especially when you have Nathan MacKinnon. So, on top of that, so that they should be the team to watch out in the West, outside of Dallas, who got Mikko Rantanen today. Those two seem to be on a collision course in the playoffs, so that should be an exciting series. What else do we talk about with the Bruins? They made a trade last night with Justin Brazo. They brought back Jacob Lauko in the trade, who unfortunately he just can't score. He's very fun to watch, very physical player, seems to play kind of like a bat let out of hell. But when he was here, he never really scored, and he didn't really score in Minnesota, but he does bring sort of an energy that you do kind of like watching. And then this other kid that they got, Russian kid, I believe he was a second-round pick. Marat Kusindinov? What the fuck do you say that? Marat Kusindinov. However the hell you say that. He was a second round pick back in 2020. He has not really performed well with the Minnesota Wild. Again, this is what you traded for Brazo for. So, you know, you get younger in the deal. Brazo, I think, is 29. Lauko's 24, and this Russian kid is 22. So you get younger in the deal. Didn't really mind that. Well, they weren't keeping Brazo anyway. And then earlier in the week, they got they traded away Trent Frederick and Max Jones. Somehow they included Max Jones in the deal to Edmonton, which, by the way, Max Jones, I think, got 2 assists the other night for Edmonton. Let me double check that. But yeah, they traded them to Edmonton, and they got a second round pick and a AHL defenseman. Did they get something else in that deal? I have to look. Okay, yeah, they got a second round pick this year from St. Louis, by the way, which is good because St. Louis is not that good of a team, so they're going to have kind of a high second round pick. Edmonton's fourth round pick, AHL defenseman Max Wanner, and then, yeah, they traded Trent Frederick and Max Jones, who, let me look, I believe Max Jones, that fucker, got a assist last night. Let me look it up. Yeah, he did. He got an assist and was a plus one. He didn't do anything while he was here with the Bruins, but then first game with the Edmonton Oilers, he records an assist. Well, how's that for you? But yeah, I don't know. I like their deadline. I know that Don Sweeney's getting shit on, and it seemed like Don Sweeney was getting, you know, praise for the earlier deals. You know, he got praise for the Frederick deal, the Brazo deal. No one really even noticed what was even going on. He got praise for the Coyle deal, and then it feels like everyone's hatred comes from the Marchand deal, which I get. It's an emotional thing. People don't want to see him. People wanted to see him retire here. I guess I understand why people are upset about it, but at the end of the day, if you're looking at it for the greater good of the team, what he did today, you know, he got whatever he could out of it. I'm guessing that there was no other... The return had to be because of the injury. I'm assuming that they didn't get as big of a return on Brad Marchand as you would assume based off of the other trades because of the injury. And, you know, we'll even see. Maybe he doesn't even play a fucking game for Florida. Maybe that's how they view it, and how the rest of the league views it. But to me, I think he did a good job. Didn't get anything for Geeky. You know, Geeky was sort of thrown out there. I didn't mind keeping him. He's sort of youngish, and obviously he's popping. Not incredibly in love with his game, but I guess he does have some finish. I didn't really love it at the start of the year. He didn't trade Geeky, which I would have liked to have seen what he was, if he was listening to offers, what he would have gotten. Could have maybe tried to sell high on Corpusalo, but I don't think you could have, to be honest with you. I think maybe like a couple weeks ago you could have, but I think after the past couple weeks that no, you weren't getting anything for Corpusalo. But yeah, no, I don't really. Pavel Zacha, I guess, but you need centers. So, and he's still somewhat youngish. You can still kind of keep him around. Plays well with Pastrnak. So, you know, I didn't really have an issue with who they kept. You probably weren't going to get major hauls for them anyway. And, you know, you might as well keep them. So, yeah, no, I have no real issues with their trade deadline. I think that now you look at it and they have these assets, that does not mean that I want them to use all these picks. As we all know, Don Sweeney, not good at drafting. So if just because you have the picks does not mean, just because you've gone out and acquired all these picks does not mean that I want them to use those picks in the draft and, you know, take these shitty players that they love to take. I want them to use the picks, some of them, but I also want them to try to use the picks to acquire other players via trade. Get a good, you know, a good player that's, you know, a team can't afford because they're in a bad cap situation. Take advantage of another bad GM. How about that? You know, there's some players you can throw out there. Jack Eichel's going to be a free agent after next year. Would Vegas be interested in dealing him before the start of next season, before, so they get something for him? Maybe, maybe not. You know, Brady Tkachuk is up there in rotting away in Ottawa. You know, I don't know. There was some sort of sentiment with some people that, oh, that were anti-rebuild or anti-trade these pieces. Oh, well, what are they going to do with the draft picks anyway? They can't draft. Well, it's not really, you have to look at the picks themselves as a tool that you can use to build your team, whether that's through actually taking the players or trading them away to get something else. And I look at it as both, pretty much. So if they don't use any of these picks and they end up trading them away and bringing in good players in return, then so be it. That'll speed up the process and they'll be a better team in quicker time, hopefully, if they get the right guys. I don't trust their drafting. I'll just say that. If whoever they draft, I'm probably going to assume that they suck. But that doesn't mean you can't just not draft. You have to keep drafting. That's how you build your team, especially in a hard cap. You have to take shots at the dartboard. So, you know, just because they suck at drafting is not an excuse to not get draft picks. You can use draft picks for other things. You can use them to acquire players. You can use them like a lottery ticket and take a guy, whatever. But there was a little bit of that too today, and that was really bothering me. I've been defending Don Sweeney all day, and I really don't like doing that, because if, you know, they wanted to fire Don Sweeney tonight, I would say good riddance. I don't have any, you know, connection to Don Sweeney, really. He's just another guy. But I do find it funny how much the fans really hate him. You know, they don't have prospects, in part because he has sucked at drafting, absolutely. But he hasn't really had that many, you know, shots at drafting, because he's traded away all these picks and all these trades that he's made. No one has ever come out and said, oh, why did they make that trade? The only one I can really think of was the Rick Nash one years ago, where they traded away a whole bunch of, you know, players. They traded away fucking Ryan Lindgren, and who, you know, turned out to be a pretty good player. And then, you know, he just got dealt. I forget where he just got dealt to. But, and they gave away a first-round pick. And I remember a lot of people on that one said, you overpaid, you know, what are you doing trading for Rick Nash, giving away a prospect? And they gave away to a couple bad contracts too in that deal. But they gave away a prospect and a first-round pick. And a lot of people thought that was an overpay at the time. I'll grant you that one. But other than that, all these other trades that he's made where he traded away draft picks, everyone wanted him to trade those draft picks. So, you know, you're giving yourself less kicks at the can when you trade away those draft picks. It's only a matter of time. You're asking to not have any prospects, because the draft is more of a game of, you know, just throwing darts at the board and just hope, you know, throwing shit at the wall and hoping it sticks. So, you know, the less shit that you have, the less likely you're going to have something stick. So, you know, he deserves criticism for his poor drafts and the players that he's taken and the players that have come after him. It seems like every single draft you can go back recently where he takes somebody, they can't play, they're stuck in the AHL, or, you know, they do come up here and you're just like, this guy's dog shit, and, you know, he gets traded away for nothing. And then meanwhile, the players that get taken directly after them become superstars and 30 goal scorers or minute eating defensemen, and you're like, what the fuck? Who do we have operating this scouting department? Which I think is really sort of the problem. It's probably less Don Sweeney and more, maybe, I'm not going to call out the owners because I don't really know, but my guess is, given the history with the Bruins, that the scouting department isn't probably the most competent or well compensated in the league. So my guess is that the ownership probably, they don't cheap out on the players, so they probably cheap out somewhere else, and they probably cheap out on the scouting department. That's just gonna be my guess, because why do they seem to just love players from Hockey East? They just love taking guys that play at hockey, that play down the street. Just a little bit weird. That's just my two cents there. However, like I said, you can't just, you know, point the finger at Don Sweeney and say everything's his fault, when it's like all these moves that he's made, all the fans wanted him to make, and it's not his fault that his team, that he put, you know, he put a competitive product on the ice and they choked away a couple of those years. And, you know, now you're paying the price of what it would have been if had you won those, you know, Stanley Cups or Stanley Cup, whatever, but you didn't. And now it just makes the pain all that more that you have to trade your captain to the team that knocked you off the past two years for a conditional second round pick. That's just the way it goes. That was about 38 minutes of, or 37 minutes of me bitching about the Bruins, or not bitching about the Bruins, but just talking about the Bruins trade deadline and how I liked it. Everybody else is bitching about it. I'm always on the opposite side, it feels like, whenever it comes to my Bruins fandom. I don't mind it. I didn't mind the trade deadline today for the Bruins. I think it sets them up to get deals done in the future, get some prospects in the pipeline, and hopefully correct this ship. But it was a pretty substantial day in the history of the Boston Bruins, really. This could be looked back on, 5-10 years from now as a real turning point. So, you know, it could be, for better or worse, it could be that they screwed up this deadline so bad that they really have to nuke it, because they didn't really nuke it, you know, today. They definitely traded off some pieces, some core members that have been here for a long time, but they were all aging out, except for Carlo. Carlo was sort of the one that, like I said, would be contributing, is going to contribute in the future. And, you know, you're probably going to look at him in Toronto or whatever, wherever he goes, if he stays in Toronto. You're probably going to look at him and been like, oh, you know, he's a good player, we should have kept him. You'll probably look at that, at him, in the future. But all the other guys, you're kind of, you know, they were all aging, or they were just sort of supporting cast members anyway. So nuking it would be, you know, trading David Pastrnak. It would be trading Charlie McAvoy. It would be unloading Jeremy Swayman's contract, dealing out picks. That would be nuking it. So if it comes to that, then this deadline was not a success. If they're able to sort of reverse course in the next year to 2 years with all these prospects and all these picks, then this trade deadline would be a success. So, like I said, I think it's going to be a real turning point for the franchise. It's going to be a day that everybody's going to look back on and say, you know, this was the day that it all went right or all went wrong. And it's exciting. As it's the most exciting thing that's happened to the Bruins all year. They've been pretty much a pile of shit. So anyways, that was 40 minutes. Wow. Have a good night.